And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to that LGBT radio show that is just for you.
Welcome to Shout Out. I'm Steph Barnett and the hunk next to me is Andy Thomas. And on the show today, hospitals.
Terry's just come out of one and we'll be catching up with him live in the studio to talk about the experience. Along with Carl as well, it's going to give us a bit of insight into previous stuff, isn't it?
Excellent. And come fly with me, come fly.
Not with Steph, no, but someone that Ivan's been catching up with, so.
All that and more coming
today on Shoutouts. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
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 How are we all? So sick. That wasn't me that kicked it off at the beginning. I mean, I've got
we
a chair. That's
we didn't blame you.
No. Yeah.
We will after the show.
I know, yeah. So anyway, how are we all?
We're okay.
How are you, that lesbian woman?
Hello. I'm feeling a little under the weather and I'm slowly sinking down in my chair as my voice gets quiet.
Oh, that must have been the one I had last time.
No, this one does the same.
Oh, are they? Okay. Just put your microphones down a
Thank
bit
you.
Lower.
So. Lot, back in.
Lot of loose gas in this studio.
Well, yeah.
Said the actress.
I'm not saying a thing. So, especially considering we have to say a very warm welcome to listeners in Froome.
Yes, we do.
So we're very, very pleased to say that joining our lineup of stations that we broadcast on is now Froome FM, which is 96.6 if you're listening.
And we're also live on Pirate Nation Radio at the moment and BCFM 93.2 and DAB across the city in County and Bristol.
Yeah, it's quite cool. We're DAB now. Yes. We're going all. Yeah. We're going up market.
And BSR tomorrow repeats the show and they're on DAB as well.
And yeah. FM,
GFM are tonight at 9.
And Bass Radio.
Bass Radio is tomorrow at 9.
Ooh, you've been doing your homework.
BSR is tomorrow at 10.
Anyway, we're supposed to be bigging up Froome, not.
Have you noticed, else? Andy, that Steph's a bit of a radio geek?
I know, yeah.
No, that's
she's
Terry.
Like, yeah, I was going to say, she's a female version of Terry, really, isn't
yeah,
it?
Okay.
So. But yeah, no, I thought it was really cool. It's been lovely as well, because I've been chatting with that guy over there, sorting it all out, and you know, and the like. We didn't know if we were going to be able to do it live, but bless him, he was playing around with it all last week and got it working, so we should hopefully be on air.
Well, no, we are. It's just been checked. We are live across Somerset from Froome.
So, hello, Froome. Yes.
And the listeners of Pirate Nation and
and everyone else. Yes, I know. Yes, I know.
Hi, Mum.
I can see Mary.
Is your mum listening?
Mary's Mary, our producer's looking at me in the corner as if to say, "You do know, you really should do that jingle that says all of the stations." I keep promising I will do. So we will get around to doing that at some
She'll
point.
She'll give you
so.
A slap, then you'll have a red mark to remind you.
Yes. Yeah. So. Anyway, we got a week till the clocks go forward.
Yes, we'll be doing light shows.
Light shows, yeah. Yes, it is weird, isn't it? Because it really does change the whole dynamic of the studio when you're in here and there's daylight.
Yeah, I mean, the shutter's down at the moment. It's dark.
You just keep the curtains drawn and just pretend that it's still dark.
I can't see the pretty LEDs behind me. Are they on?
Yes, they are. Green they and are. Red.
Thank you for that.
Blue.
Okay.
Oh yeah, it's a colour changing thing, isn't it? Yeah. Do you think when they put it in the studio, they realised it was a gay rainbow light?
what is it supposed to be?
I don't know.
Like an extremely ineffectual disco ball. Because I've been in here numerous times and I never knew it was even
it's
there.
Making for great radio, this isn't considering no one else can see it. Yeah.
Let's talk about stuff we can see and the listeners can't.
Yeah, we had a studio refit. Oh gosh, a few months ago now, wasn't it?
Yeah, last year.
Yeah, and one of the things I did was put a weird light up to light up the ceiling in all different colours. I think was purposely just for shout out of yours.
I think so too.
So I think that's the way it should be anyway. Yeah.
So we're talking hospitals. Terry's been in hospital, now he's out. Yeah. Looking forward to
And I've dragged the boyfriend in as well, because he used to work for the NHS, you see. He used to look after lots of different patients. And of course, the whole thing that we're talking about is, you know, what it's like when you're LGB or T in hospital.
I think I'd be quite scared going in now.
Would you?
I think so, yeah. Because my other half's an HSA in South.
No, what's an HSA? And I heard you say this earlier. I don't know what it is, though.
Well, sort of a lower end nurse, basically. So they do all the same stuff.
A lower end nurse?
Yeah, well, a lower end.
Is that a geographical or an anatomical description?
Was that inappropriate?
Hello, nurse.
Are we after the water? She is listening, actually.
You're in trouble.
I'm going to get such a slap.
I'm kicked.
Lynn, back for a bit, so I would think of something to say. Yeah.
Can I point out once again, it was Steph that said it.
It's already Carol's already got it trending. I can't believe Steph said that. Every Thursday it trends on Twitter.
So, but yes, no, we're talking about the NHS and the like. We're also going flying.
Yes, we are. Yeah. Yes, with Ivan.
I don't mean you. I mean with Ivan.
I won't sing again.
And I've got a really cool one for you this week as well. I've got a song by Tom Goss that's already gone viral. It's had 88,500 hits on YouTube.
And it's out tomorrow, isn't it?
It's on YouTube. Is that the formal release? But we got that coming up later. It's a remake of Son of the Preacher Man. Now, we'll obviously play the audio, but it's well worth watching the video on YouTube.
The video is good. We could do that. We could play it on the monitor so we could see it, but not the listeners. That's
another
good radio.
Yeah, and then we could broadcast it on radio. We need to get
on telly.
I don't have time from work. It's bad enough getting on the radio. I don't have time to get ready for a TV show.
We could video it.
I mean, I'd never get my hair done in time.
That's true. How long should it take you now? Must take ages. By the time you've washed it and then blown it dry.
Yes.
And talking about grooming his eyebrows. That's
my eyebrows.
Yeah.
So it's all right for you lesbian women, you know.
Yeah, we don't groom our eyebrows. Let's get that straight.
That's twice you've shot me. I couldn't believe she was a lesbian.
I just wandered in here one day asking for directions, and the next thing happens, I'm doing events and I'm doing traffic on Steph Radio Show.
Are you both doing events?
This is the LGBT
events?
Show.
You are both doing events. Oh, yes. Cool. Well, should we get some then?
Go on.
Yeah. Okay.
Right, if Lucy isn't on the floor by the time her seat's gone down.
Yes.
Tara is here, though, it's fine. Tara can
cover.
Hello. What events are we doing this week, then?
It's me first. Yeah, it's trans events this week. Next weekend.
Cool.
What we've got is, we've got...
It's bank holiday next weekend, isn't it?
Is it?
I'm sure it is.
I don't know.
Is that right? Bank holiday next weekend?
It's Easter weekend.
I've got an extra
weekend.
Day off work.
Yeah.
Extra two.
It's Good extra Friday, two. Easter extra Sunday two. And Easter yeah. Monday.
How cool is that?
I don't have to work.
Yay. No? Hang on, aren't you self-employed?
Yes, exactly.
It doesn't quite work.
It doesn't work that way, does it? Yeah, you just don't get paid.
So what event's going on this weekend?
Okay. At the Palace, they're introducing a new event called Blush, which is on the Saturday. And preceding that on the Friday, we're going to have Glitzy Girls. So it's a trans weekend.
Now, isn't Glitzy Girls is at the Queen Shilling, yes.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's the one they do for Pride as well.
Yeah.
They give all their money to Pride in Bristol.
Did it?
Which is good. Yes. Right. Yeah.
It's really good, isn't it?
Yeah. It's quite successful, Glitzy Girls. So, but it's a new one starting.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So it's going to be on a Saturday. The idea is that...
And that's at the Palace.
Yeah, because people travel all around the southwest to get to Bristol to do Glitzy Girls, so they can come here another weekend.
Have a full weekend of
it. Exactly.
Yeah.
Good Lord. God help our markets. I know the Glitzy Girls. They know how to party.
They also wear a lot of heels. There's going to be a lot of damage to the walkway in Old Market.
You've got to stand one direction in the Gin Palace because it does have that sloping floor as well.
That's true. Yes. I'm okay. I wear women. I'm a woman in comfortable shoes.
You're
also
sensible.
Known as a lesbian woman, Steph. Own it. We're going to band together. Mary's deliberately not paying attention. She'll not be part of this.
That's because Mary's in sensible shoes too.
She is also in sensible shoes.
So what are the details? What time is it kicking off?
Is it 10 p.m. to 2 a.m.
Cool. Is it free entry?
It is free entry.
Oh, nice.
Still, you have to pay for it, but.
We like that. Yeah. Cool. Have we got anything, any other events going on that weekend?
Yes, Saturday.
Come on, girl, pay attention. Sorry.
Thank you, lovely people at the Cube Cinema, my favourite small cinema in Bristol.
I haven't been there yet.
Oh, they're great. They're fun.
Is it?
Yeah, it's good. I've talked about them before, and this Saturday they have a regular sort of thing called Beacons, Icons and Dicons, which I've talked about before on the show.
Tom Marshman.
It is. And they kind of have occasional sort of homages to LGBT directors and actors, and it's all about queer cinema, basically.
Right.
And this Saturday they are showing a Derek Jarman film, The Last of England, at 8 o'clock. And so if you fancy going along, I am always happy to go to the Cube Cinema based on their descriptions of their shows. This is a bit of a early work. I think it came out sort of late 80s, and it's kind of like a a meditation on what might have happened if Thatcherism had really, really gone the way Thatcherism was threatening to if you were a socialist-minded kind of person in the 80s. So it's a bit of a bleak, dystopian vision.
A lot of younger listeners have no clue what we're all about.
Yeah, this is your film history. If you want to go and look at your film history, this is it's got Tilda Swinton in it, and I will be honest with you, it's avant-garde cinema. So, you know, be prepared to go, and you're not going to get Guardians of the Galaxy. But what you are, it's true. But what you are going to get is you are going to get a long, lovingly shot sort of elegy to an England that he thought had disappeared, and he references quite a lot of other texts and that, and it's all very visual, and it's all about there's not much of a plot, but it's beautifully shot, and it's a bit of a classic.
Have you seen it before? Have you seen the trailer?
I have not seen it. I've done a bit of reading up on it, and I'm intrigued. So I just thought, I wasn't going to say, well, this is a film, go and go see it. So I thought I'd have a little bit of a reading up of it. I'm aware of Derek Jarman as a director. I've not seen this one, but I love Tilda Swinton in anything. And this was, you know, this is early. This is well before she became well known, you know.
Oh, so it was made a while ago.
Oh, it was made quite, I think, 88 or 90, something like that. Nice. So it is an older film. And that's 8 o'clock on Saturday.
Is that this Saturday?
It's this Saturday. So, cinematic education.
Cool.
I'll say it again, my favourite cinema in Bristol. Thank you, lovely people in the Cube, for posting that on our events website. They took the time to do that, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Cool. Brilliant.
And the Blush one I put up yesterday, so that's on our website as well. One at the Palace.
Cool. Yeah. Someone going to tell them where the website is?
Yeah. shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Cool. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Hi, I'm Heather Small, and you're listening to Shout Out.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
That's a fast car, like Jonas Blue.
Featuring Dakota.
I didn't write that bit there.
You didn't?
No.
But I read it.
Yeah.
I need to know these things.
Yeah, well, only because you liked a half inch my music.
I did hit Nick that one, yeah.
No, it's a nice one, that one. I bought that one. In fact, I haven't written it down. It's on the screen in front of me.
that's where I can read it from.
Still. Anyway, we're talking NHS now. And I have to admit, I quite luckily haven't really been in hospital much recently. In fact, not for years.
I was there 12 years ago.
Yeah. My other half, the lovely, gorgeous Carl, is here. And of course, you used to work for the NHS, didn't you, for years?
Did. Yes.
We thought we'd nab you for your experience, because it suddenly occurred to me. We were talking about having Terry on the show. Hello, mate.
Hello.
Because you've recently come out of hospital, haven't you?
Am I not lovely and gorgeous as well?
Oh, you are lovely.
I mean, I know Carl is.
I'm so sorry.
I have. I'm back on the show.
I love you too, but I'm not marrying you this year. You see.
No,
not this year.
No. Not this year, but maybe next.
Sorry, Steve. anyway, back to the subject.
Back to reality.
You've recently come out of hospital, haven't you?
Yes, I was in the BRI for 9 days in February.
We were chatting away, and I was suddenly like, I was chatting to Carl last night, and I suddenly thought, well, actually, you know, it would be good to get you on the show, because we were going to talk to you about your experience being a gay guy that's been in hospital recently and how things are now. But of course, Carl, you worked there for what? Gosh,
forever.
you're not there now, so no. We should point out that you're not formally speaking for the NHS
you
can give us some experiences that you've had over the years. So, I'm guessing being a gay guy working at the hospital, you didn't really encounter many issues yourself.
No. I mean, I've always been really lucky that kind of I've worked in environments where coming out as gay as a member of staff was never an issue. I've certainly never had any kind of negative reactions from other members of staff.
The bit that we were trying to get across in this is more what it's like when you're a patient. Steph, you said you'd be worried if you were to go in now.
Yeah, well, when I was in hospital before, it was to have gender affirmation surgery. So it was a bit different because hospital was already set up and the staff were knowledgeable about that sort of thing.
Right.
But I think now I'd be a bit worried because my other half also, she still works
at Southmead Hospital.
Yeah.
And she tells me about some of the things that she's told staff off about because they've been treating somebody from the LGBT community incorrectly.
Really?
She said there's still quite a lot of prejudice in the NHS around.
Yeah. I mean, but did you look after patients that were...
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly kind of one memorable experience of working with a trans patient was having a lady admitted to the ward, and the staff in charge. I'd point out I was a health service assistant as well, not a trained nurse. But the staff in charge of the ward didn't know. They didn't feel it was appropriate to place this lady on an open female ward, but they also knew that it wasn't appropriate to put her on an open male ward, and they just didn't know at the time. And I would point out this was quite a few years ago.
I was going to say,
this isn't current.
Right now, this is, you know.
And the solution that they ended up doing was putting her into her own side room.
Which, from what you said, she quite liked, but that's not the point, is it?
No, it's not the point. It was very much a situation that, at the time, they didn't know what to do. And actually, I found myself in the situation as an openly gay member of staff, of having the staff coming to me and saying, what do we do? And, of course, my reaction at the time was, I don't know, I'm not trans, you know.
So did it not occur to them to ask her what she wanted?
I honestly think it just didn't occur to them. They just didn't, at the time, they just didn't know what to do. There were issues around things like her medical notes still had her previous male name on them. Partly, I think, because she was just starting to transition.
Right.
And there were also issues with some members of staff who felt it wasn't appropriate for her to wear a nightgown, like a hospital nightgown. They wanted to give her pyjamas to wear, and so it was just kind of working.
But men
through.
Wear the nightgown things, don't they?
Or no, that's confused. you're thinking about a surgical gown.
Oh, right, okay.
You know, they issue fairly unflattering pyjamas.
Oh, is that the ones that are open all down the back?
That's the surgical gowns, yeah.
Why
yeah.
is that? Hospitals issue that, and everyone's walking around with their bums hanging out. I'm not getting that.
I think it's more to do with, you know, if you pass out and they need to get them off you quick.
I think so.
I don't think...
There's somebody with a fetish at the top end who orders all the kit.
I think there's an aspect of... kind of making it easy to put something on and off a patient with limited mobility as well, rather than getting something over your head. Yeah.
You were telling me, Carl, as well about off air when some of the staff were saying how they were frightened that the person might expose themselves to them.
Yes. As I said to you earlier, this particular patient, she wanted to wear a nightgown, and some of the staff were kind of concerned that would mean that they would be able to see her masculine genitalia.
But surely that happens all the time.
Exactly.
Aren't nurses and HSAs washing males
all the time?
And that was the real irony of it, you know. Because I think it was because there was just this conflict of this person is presenting as female, but physically she's got male attributes, and we don't know how to deal with that.
Terry, when you were in hospital, did you have any of these kind of experiences? Did anyone kind of treat? I mean, did someone turn around and say, is your wife coming to visit you or something, and make the assumption?
No, they didn't actually. And I mean, obviously, I'm speaking as a cisgender man, a gay man. So obviously, you know, there might be some differences in the way different people are treated within the LGBT spectrum. But nobody made any assumption about my sexuality. In fact, any anxiety I had was all in my head.
Right.
My partner came to visit me every day and was accepted. I didn't officially come out, but I didn't need to because we were just accepted. That was a matter of fact. You know,
but that's how it should be.
Which is as no one should care. And the ward I was on also had a trans receptionist, which I thought was really welcoming. You know, a welcoming thing. I thought, I'm going to be fine here, you know. As I say, any anxiety I had was in my own head.
She in itself is odd, because it shouldn't be a case of someone trans working on reception puts you more at ease.
No, it didn't. Well, yes, it did, because, obviously when we see members of our own communities, you know, in those environments, it makes it easier. And I also found that there was a nice gender mix of nurses as well, and which was totally different from my previous time in hospital, which is a very long time ago. But there was a mixture of male and female nurses, because sometimes you want to talk to a man, and sometimes I wanted to talk to a man, and that was available. So the ward I was on was very mixed, very gender neutral, and in fact everyone had their own room, so the issues of, you know, the wards didn't actually come up.
Oh, right.
And so, I think when you become an inpatient in the hospital, you automatically feel more vulnerable, because you're putting your care into the hands of people that you don't know.
Yeah.
So all of those anxieties and those things that normally day to day wouldn't be so much of an issue and you could deal with them, because you're feeling more vulnerable, they become magnified. So they do become really important.
Yeah.
And being in a situation where you see people from the LGBT communities helps to kind of reduce some of that anxiety, I think. And I think that's really important, that it's not necessarily that you're being treated any differently, it's the anxiety that you feel there's a potential that you might be treated differently if you were to come out. And while I'm sure that doesn't happen anywhere near as much as it used to, in fact I know that I believe you call him friend of the show, Andy Hole, is very involved with the LGBT equality team.
Yeah.
at Bristol NHS.
Well, I think the NHS have had that kind of thing for a while, haven't they?
I know Andy was quite influential in setting it up.
Oh, right.
And they, I believe they supply training to staff across the trust to help with this sort of thing. So.
Which is good, because, I mean, one of the things that you mentioned earlier also was, I mean, you'd had a patient in who was HIV positive.
Hmm.
At the time, I will reiterate, we are going back a few years,
mm-hmm.
But at the time you said the staff were panicking because they thought they might catch something.
I think probably panicking is slightly strong, but again, they were very much, what do we do? How do we, what precautions do we take to protect ourselves? And where before with the trans patient, my reaction was, I don't know, I'll have to find out. With HIV, as a gay man, it is something that I'd done some research on and knew about. And obviously the advice was, well, work with that patient the same way as take the same precautions as exactly. you would with any other patient, you know.
Were trained at that point to know the kind of precautions you should just take as
I mean, the whole kind of kind of gloves and gowns thing when you're working with the patient, and that with any patient, those precautions are there as much to protect the patient from anything that
you
the
might,
member of staff
yeah.
might have. Obviously, with an HIV patient, that's even more important, because if they're if they've got a particularly high viral load or whatever, and their immune system's compromised, then they're more at risk of picking up so things like the common cold and that sort of thing than the member of staff. So, and again, even though this was a few years ago, I can remember being. And when I'm saying a few years ago, I'm talking 10 years ago now. I was still really, really surprised by the lack of knowledge on a personal level that people were displaying, I think is probably the best way to put it. Certainly, the information is there, but. At the time, people just didn't seem to be accessing it. And again, I would reiterate, I know that the training is much better now than it used to be.
Yeah. So, I mean, did you feel like you were processed, or did you feel more like you were treated like a human while you were there?
Generally, I was treated very, very individually by the nursing staff, and everyone was really friendly. I mean, I was quite anxious about having my procedure done, staff picked up on that right down to the people that wheel you around in those unflattering gowns that Steph mentioned. And they all put me at ease, or at least tried to, you know. They were extremely helpful. I mean, the NHS does so many operations and procedures in a week that there's going to be an element where you are you know, I mean, I did feel when I was in the procedure room like a cat at the vets, you know, when they lash out and they don't know what's happening.
What a lovely analogy.
There were, you know, banks of equipment and everyone was dressed like Darth Vader and it was really very, very full on. But, you know, they were still very caring and, you know, very, very... you know, that introduced me to everybody and said, you know, this is going to happen to you now and this is what we're going to do when you're in a safe space and we're going to look after you.
What was the food so, like?
Actually, I was really impressed. The food is small portions, but in the BRI anyway, you get a bowl of soup at lunchtime and tea time to start with. Then you have your main course and you have a pudding as well. So it's a little bit school dinners-y, but, you know, they've got to cater for vegetarian, vegan, halal, kosher diets, people who can't eat gluten, people with lactose intolerance, and that's all got to appear, plus people that need sort of easily mashable food because they're quite poorly. So that all that has to be catered for on one menu, and they still managed to come up with a decent menu on each day of the week, and I was really impressed.
Wow. But,
yeah, so the food, yep, spot on. Yeah. Cool.
I can remember many years ago, I used to work on the stroke rehab unit, and every morning the kitchen staff would come round with a hot trolley with everything for a very big full English breakfast for all of the patients every single morning. And then at some point somebody realised, well, actually, this food's all quite high fat and high salt content and our patients aren't terribly mobile and lots of salt isn't good for people who've had a stroke. So that was kind of phased out, which I know the patients who were inpatients at the time were very not happy about. They were very much enjoying their full English breakfast every morning.
Well, listen, I say thank you for coming in. I mean, it's lovely to have you on the show again, as always, Carl. But I can't really say thank you for coming in to you, can I, Terry? Because I'm sure you'll be here next week reading
can't
the news
get rid
with us. So, but listen, it's been lovely to talk to you. It's really nice as well to know that, you know, it is coming up, because the NHS does get knocked for so many other things.
And they do. So I have nothing but admiration and respect for the staff that I met. Really, really good.
Cool. Yeah.
And I think it probably is just really important to reiterate that things have changed a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. And that people are very much better informed now and the training is so much better.
Yeah. Well, perhaps what we'll have to do is see if we can get Andy or one of the others on who do that training in the NHS and find out what goes on.
So, that would be brilliant.
Yeah. It'd be nice to know, wouldn't it? Yeah. So, anyway, thank you to you both.
You're
do
welcome.
Stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. We'll be back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Alone No More. That's by Philip George and Anton Powers.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nick cool that one as well.
So, you're listening to Shout Out live on
Pirate Nation, BCFM 93.2 and DAB, and Froome
96.6.
Oh, yeah. Close. Yeah. Sorry, Froome.
And the others?
We also then go out on Glastonbury FM
107.1.
BSR
103.4. That's tomorrow at 10.
Base
radio is streamed from a website.
And then, of course, if you missed all that, you can get it on the podcast.
Yeah, that was a tumbleweed moment.
You've passed your shout-out exam.
So, I used to write them all on the top of my script, so I didn't forget. It's the frequencies I always forget.
Yeah, it'll come up in a minute.
But yeah, no, it's lovely to have listeners in Froome. So say hello to Froome.
Hello, Froome.
Hello, Froome.
Hello, Froome. Hello, Froome. So, coming in loud and clear, I hope.
And district.
And district, of course, yes.
Let's get some news headlines.
This is Shout Out News. On St. Patrick's Day, Thursday the 17th of March, a Seán Ala Féile Padraig to all our Irish listeners.
Saturday is United Nations Anti-Racism Day and a major demonstration is taking place in London under the banner Refugees Are Welcome Here. The event has been coordinated by the campaign group Stand Up to Racism and will be supported by a variety of organisations including the Refugee Council, the Trade Union Congress and People's Assembly Against Austerity. Many LGBT campaigners have said they will also back the event, which activists from the National Union of Students LGBT campaign take a key role in mobilising the gay and trans communities. The organisers of the march say their assembly point will be Portland Place at 12 noon.
Darren Carter, Programme Director for Bristol Pride, has been awarded the Lord Mayor's Medal for Bristol. With his iconic trademark blue hair, Darren is a well-known and much-loved personality in the LGBT community and received the award from the Lord Mayor, Claire Campion-Smith, in a ceremony at the Mansion House in Clifton on Wednesday, the 16th of March. Darren thanked Deputy Lord Mayor Alistair Watson for his nomination and also his seconder, Bernie Hodges. Darren's been involved with Bristol Pride for a number of years, and we at Shout Out wish to congratulate him for all of his hard work over that period for the LGBT community and no doubt for future prides to come.
The Psychoactive Substances Act is due to come into force across England and Wales at the beginning of April 2016. When drawn up, its aim was to place a ban on so-called legal highs, which have led to deaths across the UK. In recent months, the Home Office had pushed for the ban to include poppers, the name given to a group of chemicals called alkyl nitrates, as well as nitrous oxide gas, also known as hippie crack. Had the proposed ban gone ahead, it would have meant up to 7 years in jail for selling poppers and at the very least a criminal record for those using them. Now, the Advisory Council on the Misuse of Drugs has said that despite the belief by ministers that poppers were included in the ban, poppers only had a peripheral effect on the brain. Following this advice, ministers will now review their report before deciding how to act, though most are confident that the report will be accepted.
Gay liberation pioneer and human rights activist Peter Tatchell is one of a number of people asked by the liberal newspaper The Guardian to reflect on their 20s and how they survived their decade. It forms part of the paper's Millennials project of human interest stories. Tatchell describes in his essay the role of counterculture, gay liberation and the internationalist left wing in shaping his ideas and explores how he took the best parts of his Christian upbringing and merged it with secular humanism. The essay is published at The Guardian website and on Peter's own, which is easily found in most search engines.
From this week, Thursday the 17th of March, Shout Out welcomes a new station to our family of small-scale radio stations that transmit the West Country's LGBT magazine show. Yes, we're now on Froome FM, which transmits over the beautiful market town and surrounding countryside on 96.6 FM in stereo. Froome FM was set up in 2007 and spent the first couple of years on the internet, as well as trialling its service for a restricted service FM licence for 28 days at a time. In 2012, Ofcom awarded the station a full-time licence to serve Froome on the FM waveband. Shout Out will be going out every Thursday live at 7 p.m. on the station. Welcome to all listeners on Froome FM, and we hope you enjoy listening to our show.
For these news stories and more, check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shout Out News, this has been Natalie.
And Ivan Jackson.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Hi, this is Lucy Spraggan, and you're listening to Shout Out Radio.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Do you know, I really am an Avicii fan. I love that. That's the Nights. You've already got that one. You didn't need to pinch that.
No, I've already got that. Yes, because I like Avicii too.
I wasn't as keen on his last album, I have to admit.
Really?
Yeah, there was only a couple of tracks on it. Well, normally I like pretty much all of them.
I like the early stuff.
Yeah. I really like the one that Leona Lewis then remixed and re-sang.
Mm, yeah. There's a strange man opposite the desk staring at us.
Oh,
do you know him?
Yeah. Me? Oh, you're talking about me? I was thinking about your Avicii. You do a few Avicii remixes, don't you, for your show?
Yes.
Yeah, I love those. They're great.
Yeah, tampered with.
Tampered, yes. Tampered, that's what I call it.
Yeah. If you're listening on one of the other stations, Steph does a show here on BCFM, don't you? Called Handbags and High Heels.
Yes. We tamper with our music.
You tamper with it. What do you mean by tamper with it?
Well, it's different to remixes. Yeah, oh, no, right. We just tamper.
So when are you broadcasting? What time?
Mondays 10 till 12.
Occasionally with me.
In the morning.
Sidekicking. Occasionally. Yes. When I can get
That's
in.
My weather and traffic girl opposite.
I am weather and traffic.
The one with the low voice.
So, anyway, this is your piece, Ivan. You were chatting to a friend of yours, weren't you?
Yes, yes. He's a friend of mine and he's got a very interesting hobby. Have a listen to this.
Have you ever sat at your desk at the office or wherever you may work and thought, I need a challenge, I want to do something different? Well, that's possibly what happened with my guest, John Mercer.
Come fly with me, let's fly away.
Is that actually what happened, John? Was it a light bulb moment for you, or a sudden decision that you wanted to be an aircraft pilot?
Oh, it was certainly an ambition that had been on the back burner for far longer than I'd ever wanted it to be. I wanted to get my pilot's license right, really, from when I first knew what aircraft were.
So how did you go about making your dream come true?
I was very lucky to find a very good flying school based at Kemble called Freedom Aviation, and I did almost all of my training with them and passed my flying test in 2014.
Wow, so you've been flying for 2 years now.
I've been flying for just 2 years.
And allowed at the controls on your own, obviously.
Absolutely, yes.
And it's a private pilot's license that you hold, is that correct?
I hold a private pilot's license issued by the European Aviation Safety Agency, which is valid worldwide. It's a fairly high-end license to actually aim for. If you want to go for something that's sort of less ambitious and possibly a bit cheaper, there are other options available to you.
So is there a lot of studying involved before you're even allowed near a plane?
Not before you're allowed near a plane. Before you can actually go solo, you've got two exams that you have to take. You have to pass the air law exam, and you have to pass the operational procedures exam. Basically, you're sat down for up to 45 minutes in front of a multiple choice sheet, and you have to select the right answers.
I suppose there's nothing to stop you from having like a taster flight or something like that, even if you haven't done any of those exams.
Absolutely not, no. When you first roll up at a club, the flight they'll take you on is something called the Air Experience flight, which is either half an hour or an hour of you being sat where you'd be sat as a student. So that would be in the left-hand seat, the captain's seat, and you'll get to control the aircraft. They'll take you on a tour of the local area. They'll ask you to do various bits and pieces, such as you might get to talk on the radio. You'll certainly do some handling of the aircraft. You'll use that to gauge whether you actually enjoy the flying that you're doing.
So how long did it actually take you to get the license once you started?
I actually got my license in about 9 months, which is... Wow. It's a little bit quicker than average. I was working 3 days a week at work, and I was flying really whenever I could. It's not uncommon for a pilot's license to take about 2 years to actually complete.
I've heard of people going to the United States and doing intensive courses.
They can do that, certainly, but there are issues with that, such as the weather in the States is really rather a bit better than it is
right
here.
Yeah, so you're obviously not flying in conditions that you're going to be used to flying over.
Absolutely.
Here. So that could cause issues later on, I suppose.
Absolutely.
So are there any actual restrictions on your license and what kind of planes you can fly on or where you can fly it, for example?
Actually, my license is really quite open. I think I'm allowed to fly with up to 19 people in the aircraft, but I don't think there's any aircraft that I could fly that would carry 19 people. This is where there's a bit of a mismatch between what you can really do and what the rules say you can do.
So are you licensed for a single engine aircraft, or you can fly with two engines? Or
I can fly single engined aircraft up to 5,700 kilos maximum weight and no more than 19 people.
So I'd imagine 19 people hopefully wouldn't exceed that weight. But I suppose it depends how much fuel and how far you're flying, is that right?
It does. I have to say, though, I've never flown anything more than 1,000 kilos and four people.
This is the big question here. What about expense? Because people listening might be thinking, oh, this sounds like a very expensive proposition.
For the fixed-wing aircraft that I fly, which are mostly aircraft built in the 70s and 80s, so they're not new, but they're very capable. They are professional training aircraft that really most airline pilots would have started on. I'm paying £125 per hour to rent them, which includes fuel.
Well, that was my next question, because you obviously don't have to own your own plane.
You don't.
To use one.
You don't. You can easily rent one. But
so it's a bit like a hire car. It includes the fuel as well, so you get a full tank. How does that work?
It includes the fuel, but you don't have to leave it filled up at the end.
Right, okay.
I have to say, instruction actually is on top of that. So that's normally sort of between £25 and £35 extra per hour, depending on which school you're going to go to.
Okay, so, and of course you fly to a destination, then you obviously have to fly back as well, I guess. You take the plane back to your original point
you
of
do,
origin.
You do. You do what's known as the £100 bacon butty run, which is you'll fly to an airfield, you'll stop for a bacon butty and a cup of coffee, and then you'll fly back again.
How much flying do you need to do in order to keep up your license? I assume you have to do so many hours a month or a year in order to keep
Again, the rules differ. For my club rules, you need to fly at least once a month, once every 28 days.
Also, local regulation then, rather than a national.
That's a local regulation. There are other national regulations that you have to stick to, such as you're not allowed to carry passengers unless you've done 3 takeoffs and landings in the last 90 days.
Finally, John, what are the first steps someone should take if they'd like to get their own private pilot's license?
Really, it's find a school, go and visit some schools, and there's a website called Top Rank Flying Schools that you can go and visit, and it's find one that you think you don't mind travelling to, go see them, work out if you click with them socially, because you'll be spending an awful lot of money and an awful lot of time with the people that you meet there, and go and try it.
Wonderful. Thanks for talking to me today, John. I'm pretty sure you'll have inspired a few people out there to take to the skies.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Come fly with me. Let's fly. Let's fly. Pack up. Let's fly away.
Hi, this is Helen Scott from the 3 Degrees, and you're listening to Shout Out.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
Now, there is a different song. Fly Away. Yeah, it's good. We'll talk about it afterwards, but we have posted the video to this up on our website. It's really worth going to see. This is Tom Goss with Son of a Preacher Man.
The Shout Out Podcast.
There you go. The wonderful Tom Goss there with Son of a Preacher Man. What a complete remix.
It is, yeah. But the video, you really need to see the video. It's so potent.
Yeah, I showed you last night, didn't I, Carl?
Yeah. Oh, it was wonderful. It's extremely powerful. I mean, it's basically the video shows the story of two young teens who are brought up in a strict evangelical sort of Christian background, and the father of one of them is a preacher, and they basically fall in love and have a relationship. The family finds out. I'm just summarizing here. The family finds out. It all goes to pot. One of them actually, it's very dark. Contemplate suicide, but it does have a happy ending. They all live happily ever after. So I've just summarised it in a sort of bit of a flippant way.
There's a sort of graduate ending, isn't there, in the church?
Actually, my Steve said that as well.
It's kind of based on their experiences, isn't it? Tom Goss and I forget what his name is, the guy that produced it.
Well, Tom actually was. Went to seminary school, actually, so he actually studied to be a Roman Catholic priest, and then prior to that he was a wrestler and an athlete. I mean, he's sort of he's done everything.
Many
and
hats.
I mean, he actually says himself when he was although it wasn't related to that, at the age of 13 he actually attempted suicide himself. So for him it's an extremely personal video, and he raised money to make these videos because he wanted to give something back to the LGBT community. So he wouldn't normally have been able to make a video like this, focusing on the LGBT issues. It is beautifully well made, but there's a lot of money raised to do it, and the LGBT community contributed it so that he would actually perform and do it for us.
It's well worth watching the video all the way to the end of the credits as well, because there's a very sweet little surprise at the end of it.
Which is just beautiful. Ivan's in the credits, I believe.
I am in the credits. It's funny, I'd forgotten about it. Yes, because obviously it was a Kickstarter thing, so I'd actually popped a bit of cash his way. It wasn't a huge amount of money, but of course, because I'd done that, my name popped up in the credits. It was a bit of a shock, really.
It's going viral. It went online on Monday, and it's now kind of hit 88,500 listeners already.
That's amazing. It's hit all the gay news wires, and I think it's been The Advocate, etc. And I think HuffPost had picked it up as well. I mean, it's going mad. If you haven't seen it, go and watch it. I mean, it's a week for LGBT videos at the moment.
And like I say, there is a new story. It is on our website, so you can get it from there if you want. It's even embedded, so you can play it online. Anyway, that's it for this week. We haven't really mentioned it, but Justin Utley's tickets are on sale. If you want to grab them or grab a podcast or any more info about the show, just check us out online.
That's chatatradio.lgbt is where to head. And don't forget, event organisers, you can even post your events on our site for free.
Next week, we're talking to the Wandering Wives. That's going to be interesting to find out about. I don't know nothing about that. Live from 7, but for myself and the rest of the team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.